And it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. We're going to talk politics today, but before we do, I want to give a shout out to Dr. Carla Hayden, the director of the Enoch Pratt Library here in Baltimore, who has been nominated by President Obama to become the next Librarian of Congress. Her confirmation hearing before the Senate Rules Committee takes place this afternoon at 2:15. It will be streamed live on C-SPAN 3 and the committee's website. We've got a link on our website if you're interested in tuning in. If confirmed, Dr. Hayden would be the country's first African-American, the first woman, and believe it or not, the first professional librarian to hold the most important librarian job in the country. Carla Hayden is a revered figure here in Baltimore for her work with the Pratt, and she's a great friend of this show, having appeared with me many times to talk about books over the years, so we wish her all the best in her testimony today. And now, on to local politics in this extraordinary political season. After the big primary in New York yesterday, the eyes of the nation turned to Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Connecticut, and Rhode Island next week. Early voting in Maryland ends tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The polls open at 7 a.m. next Tuesday. The number of early voters in this election is considerably greater than the last time, more than four times more. And it will be interesting to see if this portends a large turnout on Election Day itself. On the Democratic side, given the fact that Secretary Clinton won big in New York last night, how will that affect turnout in Maryland in particular? How or even will it affect the so-called down-ballot races for the United States Senate, Congress, and here in Baltimore, the contests for mayor and the city council? We've got an A-list panel assembled this morning to parse all of this out for us. Luke Broadwater covers City Hall for the Baltimore Sun. Kenneth Burns is WIPR's Metro reporter. And Dr. Kimberly Moffitt is Associate Professor of American Studies and Affiliate Assistant Professor in the Departments of Africana Studies and Language, Literacy, Culture at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Good morning and welcome to everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Luke, first, shout out to you and your colleagues at The Sun, finalists for the Pulitzer in the editorial and the reporting staff. So, well done. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Let's talk a little bit about the increase vitriol that we're seeing in the campaign for mayor, particularly between Senator Pugh and former Mayor Dixon in these last couple of weeks of this campaign. It's getting nasty, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, obviously, whenever you're the front runner in a race, people come after you. I think if, you know, David Warnock or Elizabeth Embry or someone had surged to the lead, we might be seeing similar attacks on them. That said, the latest round of attacks about the alleged vote buying on the bus, I think, is resonating in a way that perhaps some of the other ones haven't. Before, opponents criticized her about donations from lobbyists, Baltimore Gas and Electric.
And these are criticisms being leveled against Senator Pugh.
Senator Pugh,
and
correct.
The allegations are that, you know, people come applying for jobs to help her man the polls, et cetera, and they're given food and they're taken to these, you know, early voting places and essentially instructed, or it's alleged that they're expected to vote for Senator Pugh.
That's correct. And so we saw this story sort of break over the weekend. On Monday, there was a press conference in which Sheila Dixon's staff produced two people that were on the bus, and they said, we were promised jobs, we were fed, we were told to get on this bus. We said we didn't want to get on the bus. They said, get on the bus, you're going to the voting station, and we were told that we had to vote for Catherine Pugh. And at least one of the one of these two was so offended by it, she switched her vote from Pugh to Dixon, according to this press conference that was had. Pugh denies any wrongdoing here. They say we are recruiting campaign workers. That is completely legal. And it is. It's completely legal to pay people to work for your campaign and to feed people who work for your campaign. What is illegal is to pay or feed people to get their vote. So it's a very fine line here. And whether or not there's any real wrongdoing, I think we'll see argued out in the media over this final week here.
Yeah, and Kenny Burns, Ms. Dixon has not been immune to attacks in these last couple of weeks as well.
No, she hasn't. She hasn't been that immune in the last couple of weeks. Well, she's been hasn't been immune during the entire campaign because of her misgivings with the with the deal with her sister getting hired, and more notably her her conviction for a corruption, rather.
Right. Yeah, she was convicted of a misdemeanor embezzlement charge, forcing her to leave office. There are a certain number of people who are willing to give her a pass on that, obviously, but her support in terms of the polls, at least, and this last poll was done the beginning of this month, has stayed pretty steady at about 25%. It hasn't gone down, but it hasn't gone up either, has it?
It hasn't, and there was a feeling even before that poll that her support topped out. The only difference between Senator Pugh and Ms. Dixon is that Ms. Dixon's supporters are more gung-ho for her, if you will. In that last poll that we saw, even though we saw Senator Pugh with a solid lead, and it is a solid because it's outside the margin of error, not necessarily a big lead, but she's firmly in control.
It's about 6 points.
About 6 points. Mm-hmm. But you still have about half of those who are kind of, maybe I'll change my mind when I go behind. So we'll see if she holds on to that support.
Mm-hmm. And Kimberly Moffitt, you spent a lot of time studying the media, how the media covers elections and other things. How do you think the media has done generally with this, especially in these last couple of weeks? We've got
your Kenny
and Luke sitting right here.
answer
this at your peril.
My best behavior. No, I think it's been fairly fair. I think what's interesting is to see how the voters are being vocal to express what they think about, in particular, these two front runners. And I also note, as much as I see in terms of the campaign ads all throughout the city, I am noticing a lot more of Catherine Pugh's billboards being spray painted over with BGE quite excessively. And I'm also mesmerized by the campaign ad from Sheila Dixon that, we want our mayor back. Those have been very popular, at least recently. But in terms of what the media has been doing, I think it's been pretty, not to use or capture Fox's tagline, but I think it's been pretty fair and balanced.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah. But to dovetail off your point in regards to the Sheila ads, there has been this sentiment, and I talked about it in my story this morning, that some people in the city felt that their mayor was taken away from her, the mayor being the person trying to get their job back, Sheila Dixon.
Yes, and I think it was interesting. I mean, it was on one of the news stories on the station this morning that talked about the difference in how Dixon was received versus Rawlings Blake at Freddie Gray's funeral. Mm-hmm. And the applause, the length of the applause for Dixon in comparison to Rawlings Blake really does give us a sense of how we are responding to those two particular women and what it says about Dixon. But I also think it does really makes a point of topping out, as I think you've said, about her voter base, because she isn't someone that's been able to gravitate and pull in voters that are outside of the African-American community.
But of course, we can probably count on those voters showing up to the polls.
Absolutely.
Or voting early, this week.
And how.
Yeah. That's Kimberly Moffitt from UMBC, Kenny Burns from WYPR, and Luke Broadwater from the Baltimore Sun. I'm Tom Hall on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. Luke, what about the influence of PACs in this election cycle? We've got this group called Clean Slate, run by some folks in Washington, initially seemed to be positioned as a simply anti-Dixon thing. Now it seems to be positioned as a pro-Pew organization, although Senator Pugh has sort of disowned or disavowed their work. But they've made themselves known, haven't they?
Right. So there are actually four different PACs in this race. Super PACs. The first that everyone knew about was Clean Slate PAC. They came on the scene around Christmas time with the anti-Sheila Dixon ad, which depicted her as the Grinch who stole Christmas. And, they had this green figure, which kind of looked like Sheila Dixon stealing things from kids on TV. That PAC was originally started solely as anti-Dixon. Now, in recent weeks, they have added pro-Pugh to their official PAC listing, and they've come out for Pugh. Catherine Pugh has been going around telling people, I don't want this PAC support. I want nothing to do with them. She told me that she went up to some of these campaign workers when they were passing out literature that had Sheila Dixon in a fake mugshot. and told them, please don't do this. Take my name off it. I want nothing to do with it. But as we know, PACs and candidates cannot collaborate by law. And so she says that she doesn't want their help, and they don't seem to care.
I think that's a fair statement.
And there are also PACs for pro Carl. There's a pro Carl Stokes PAC, a pro Sheila Dixon PAC was just formed last week. And I just learned there's a pro Elizabeth Embry PAC that was just formed yesterday.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Well, perhaps better late than never. I don't know. But Kenny, there have been 60 plus mayoral forums in this election season. I mean, so these folks have been putting themselves out there. They have been answering questions of voters. The one that I moderated just, you know, a couple of months ago, a long time ago, 350 people or something showed
up. These are
well-attended things. So they have been able to get their stories out. They've been certainly given the opportunity to do that.
Yes, and one of those forums I'm sad I missed last week with the Stoop storytelling. Mm. But I think citizens realize that this is a rare opportunity after a tragic event that we have an opportunity to redirect the course for Baltimore City. And we're going to do as much vetting of the candidates as we can. And the candidates themselves, they're in it because it's an open seat. The current mayor, Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, is not running.
Right. And Kimberly Moffitt, just got a few seconds left before we take a break for the news. But in that way, the media's role is somewhat attenuated, isn't it? Because the voters are really seeing these candidates up close and personal.
Yes, and we're getting much more detail about candidates in ways that we typically don't.
Yeah.
And I think, again, in large part to pull on Kenny's point, it's because we don't have an incumbent who's running for office.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting time. All right, we're going to come back after a break for news and talk some more. Luke Broadwater of the Baltimore Sun, Kenneth Burns of WIPR, and Dr. Kimberly Moffitt from UMBC are with me this morning here in Studio A. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning. We'll be back with more on the primary election after this break for news. Nathan, back to you, sir.
Thanks, Tom. You're listening to the Maryland Morning Podcast, a service of your public radio, WIPR, in Baltimore. Find more podcasts at WIPR.org and tell us what you think by email, mdmorning@WIPR.org. Now, back to the podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Hall. We're talking politics this morning on Maryland Morning. Coming up a little later, producer Bridget Armstrong speaks with Elder C.W. Harris of Intersection for Change. Since last Saturday, he's been living on the roof of the Harris Market Center in Sandtown, Winchester, until 500 people from the neighborhood cast a vote. God bless him. Bridget visited Elder Harris on the roof on Monday, and she'll bring us her report coming up in just a bit. But first, we continue our election preview with Dr. Kimberly Moffitt, who takes a close look at the role of media in elections, among other things. She's an associate professor of American Studies and affiliate assistant professor in the departments of Africana Studies and Language, Literacy and Culture at UMBC. Luke Broadwater covers City Hall for the Baltimore Sun, and Kenneth Burns is the Metro reporter here at WIPR. So, Kimberly Moffitt, let's talk about the person who's polling third in the most recent poll. And again, polls can be wrong. Mm-hmm. Polls are often wrong. I mean, look at Senator Sanders in Michigan, et cetera. But Elizabeth Embry was at about 9 points. That was much higher than she had been in the previous poll. She surpassed David Warnock and Nick Mosby in that most recent poll. What chances do you give her on Tuesday?
So I don't, and this is not a political endorsement at all, but I wonder if she might be our sleeper candidate in some respects, where the city is looking for radical change, very similar to some of the conversations we're having at the presidential level, right, where we've got candidates who seem to be kind of on the polar extremes of one another in both Democrat and Republican. And I wonder if she might be that candidate for the local level. I don't predict that she necessarily is our winner, but I do think that she will bode very well, or bode more than what we're thinking right now between the two top front runners.
It's interesting because a lot of folks, Kenny Burns, talk about how this is a change election, and except from the very beginning of this race. I mean, going back to last fall, the two front runners have been the two most established politicians. Catherine Pugh and Sheila Dixon have been in Baltimore politics since the 80s. You know,
that goes to the typical Baltimore City voter, a middle-aged Black woman. I apologize for being politically incorrect on public radio, but that's where it is. I was looking at the early voting numbers this morning because, you know, I'm a mad political scientist, emphasis on mad, and councilman districts 5 and 8, which is your western edge of the city, that's where your typical voter is most likely to be found.
Mm-hmm. And that's, of course, bodes quite well for former Mayor Dixon.
Right. Dixon lives in the
East. Yeah,
that's one of her strongholds.
Yeah,
Luke Broadway, let's talk about early voting. Four times more people have voted early this time than last time. And last time, it was like twice the number than the time before that.
Sure.
So this is really catching on. People are wanting to do
and
this.
And it also feels like change.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to throw that piece in.
It is true. And as of this morning, it's actually five times the amount because it keeps surging. So we have almost 20,000 people that have voted in Baltimore City already. And we still have 2 days left of early voting to go. Now, I will say this, from my experience at the polls, it is not a youth surge at these polls. I'm not seeing like 20-year-olds in line. I'm seeing older people who have lined up to vote early. I suspect that we will see higher turnout at the end of the election, but I don't necessarily know if we're going to see much higher turnout. We may just have a situation where people who vote on election day are now just voting earlier, and we see a shift.
So they would have voted anyway.
That could be it. But I do think we may see an Elizabeth Embry surge. We have seen a lot of people breaking for her in recent weeks, and I would not be surprised on election day if she isn't higher than where she was in the last poll, which was, frankly, now about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So a lot can change in a month.
Let me dovetail off of your point as far as the younger voters. If there anything like I've been seeing in a lot of other studies, and Dr. Moffitt, you could probably back me up, your younger African-American voters are likely independent, which means they can't participate in the primary in Maryland.
Hmm.
And particularly, I look at...
you have to be registered as a Democrat or Republican to vote in either primary.
And I look at DeRay McKesson, I look at Nick Mosby when he was in the race, and they had two problems. One, getting young people to come out, obviously, but their second problem was convince some of these voters to register as Democrat or re-register as Democrat and then go out to vote.
Mm-hmm. Kimberly Moffitt, what do you think the impact of the race between Donna Edwards and Chris Van Hollen is going to be, because Congresswoman Edwards making a big play for voters in Baltimore City. Is that going to drive people to the polls for any particular mayoral candidate or city council candidate?
I don't think so, but that's just me looking at that race and finding it really interesting. And I think from a media perspective, I find it interesting because that, too, has gotten pretty nasty, just like the two candidates we're talking about in the mayoral race. So it'd be interesting to see what that surge is, but I don't think it's going to be anything different than what we've seen in past elections, even though this is an important seat, right? I mean, Mikulski has held this seat for a number of years, and it's pretty much been hers, and now it's up for grabs. And so I do think the need for these two candidates to get cantankerous with each other is very much about them saying, I want this spot, because it's such an important spot to us in the state as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And Luke Broadwater, as we finish up, we talked a couple of weeks about the city council races. Anything changed in the last 2 weeks since then, or are there people surging in particular council districts that are seem to be making a play?
I still think we're going to see about half the council turnover, if not more. So this is very much a change theme to this election. We are going to have a new mayor, and we're going to have a majority new city council.
All right.
So what's that mean for what is going to happen with business in the city?
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen, and we will continue that conversation the next time. So thanks to you all. Appreciate it very much. Luke Broadwater covers City Hall for the Baltimore Sun. Kenneth Burns is the Metro reporter for WYPR. Dr. Kimberly Moffitt is Associate Professor of American Studies at UMBC. This programming note, next Tuesday night, election night here in Maryland, I'll anchor WYPR's coverage of the Maryland primary with Kenny Burns and other WYPR reporters in the field, along with our senior news analyst Fraser Smith, Kimberly Moffitt, and Malia Cromer from Goucher College. They'll join me here in the studio. Our coverage begins at 8 o'clock, along with NPR's coverage of the other primaries taking place that day in Pennsylvania, Delaware, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.